Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you are looking for some professional wrestling in the next few days. Tonight, up here in our neck of the woods, 3-2-1 battle in Seattle, Washington. WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis. CZW in Sewell, New Jersey. EWF in Covina, California. RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia. Evo Wrestling in Logansport, Indiana. EPW in Boonville, Mississippi. And XMCW in Eleanor, West Virginia. Tomorrow night, HPW in Columbus, Indiana, featuring the Boogie Woogie Man himself, Jimmy Valiant. MCW in Galena, Maryland. AIWF in Atkins, Virginia, featuring Casey Carlisle. AIWF in Munford, Alabama. ASWF in Tuckerman, Arkansas. PPW in Port Richey, Florida. Russell Club in Middleton, Idaho. AAW in LaSalle, Illinois. ICW in Marion, Indiana. BCW in Wheelwright, Kentucky. PWB in St. Paul, Minnesota. PPW in Holland, Michigan. IWR in Ardmore, Oklahoma. IZW in Lawton, Oklahoma. Gouge having their annual Malloween in Raleigh, North Carolina. IPW in Spokane, Washington. UCW0 in Salt Lake City, Utah. SPWA in Pocahontas, Tennessee. And there is a benefit show called A Night for Sophie in Lincoln, Illinois tomorrow. Also, you have PCWA in Franklin, Indiana tomorrow. So lots of shows happening, tons and tons going on. Find yourself a promotion. Go support some independent wrestling. But to start the show, we have some sad news here. This past week, we lost one of the all-time great wrestling announcers, someone that was synonymous with Memphis wrestling. He was hugely instrumental in Memphis wrestling. Later, of course, went to WCW before returning to Memphis in the USWA. I, of course, speak of the late, great Lance Russell, who we lost at the age of 91. Lance still doing conventions, still making appearances in public just in the last few months. So he was in the wrestling industry clear up until the end. So we want to take a moment and give the 10-bell salute to Lance Russell. Not going to be the same in the wrestling industry without the late, great Lance Russell. But a lot's happening this week and into next week. Great time to be a professional wrestling fan, wouldn't you say?
Yes, Simon. Did you ever yourself get to meet Lance Russell?
Unfortunately, I never did get to meet Lance Russell personally, but was a big fan of him for many, many, many years. He was the voice of Memphis Wrestling. Even after he left Memphis for a couple of years to work at WCW, people associated him with Memphis Wrestling. And what a class act from everything I ever heard.
Did they, now, in your talks with the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, did he ever mention that he used to party or talk to Lance Russell?
He never mentioned partying with Lance Russell, but having worked in the Memphis promotion in the early 80s, guaranteed he talked to Lance Russell, absolutely. And I believe they may have been in WCW at the same time as well.
Wow. Well, now when we see the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan next, we'll have to ask him about this. Very important.
Absolutely. Now, QC,
oh, okay.
Some more big news coming out of our the neck of the woods down in Portland. Blue Collar Wrestling joining a brand new affiliated group, the UWA. NWA in a state of turmoil right now with several legalities happening, the transfer of ownership. It was an unstable situation for the affiliate members, so Blue Collar Wrestling opting to go in a new direction. They will be part of the brand new formed UWA affiliate network.
Now will they still be called Blue Collar Wrestling?
Yes, they will be UWA Blue Collar Wrestling.
Will them joining the UWA pump slightly needed money into the Blue Collar Wrestling organization? I shouldn't say slightly because everyone needs money. Yes.
Are you saying you're going to make a donation?
I think I will make a donation, yes.
All right, well, there we go. Some Iron Rule level shocking news right there.
Well, maybe not monetarily, sign guy.
Wait a second. That was what you 100% said just seconds earlier. I believe it's now a verbal contract. They could potentially sue you for everything you have.
Well, now, sign guy, as you know, you don't have to commit money to an organization for it to be enriched. As you know, it has been my dream and my task, if you say, and that was in a Taskmaster reference, to enrich the spectators' experience in the Northwest Wrestling, for enrichment. And how do you do that? By combining track and field with wrestling. Now,
that's not what you implied whatsoever. You said financial. And then when I asked if you were going to make a contribution, you affirmed it.
Well, sign, as you know, I am skilled in the culinary arts. I believe I can upgrade Blue Collar Wrestling's concession stand and at the same time combine my dream of track and field and wrestling by padding the Blue Collar Wrestling apron with foam rubber. Yes.
That's not what you agreed to do, though.
Well, can I line the ring with hidden $100 bills in this apron?
That might work, because I know they're going to find that.
Oh, okay. Because I was really blown away by the video that you sent with Lou Crank going over that top rope after the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, whipped him into it and over. He goes over in a classic Western roll fashion if you freeze a video at the 312 mark. Imagine if Lou Crank had done that at Blue Collar Wrestling and he landed on a padded apron. Think of the break and the fall. If he did not land on that apron, that would have been an 8-foot fall to the rock-hard concrete. And you yourself, sign guy, have gone over a top rope and you've had no foam rubber padding to break your fall. You put a dent in a concrete floor. Yes.
That is accurate. I did.
And no one was there to yell hot nurse needed. Yes.
There were a bunch of people there, just no one actually yelled it, which mystifies me to this day.
Yes. So I guess signed that you're partially right. I should commit to stuffing $100 bills or thereof into the foam rubber that I'm going to line blue-collar wrestling aprons with. However, I would hope that all the wrestlers would wipe their feet on said foam rubber apron before they entered the ring. Yes.
Well, you're going to have to take that up with the management.
Oh, yeah. He always looks forward to my chats. Yes. Tex Thompson.
Now, do you have like a instant communication system with Tex Thompson?
Somehow when I try to reach him by landline, it's always busy. I get a busy signal. Yes. I don't know why.
That is very strange.
I think Tex Thompson has caller ID. Yes.
So you think
now
that
someday,
he anticipates when you're going to call and he calls Patty ahead of time.
Patty might be his personal screener, yes.
QT, also this week in wrestling, like I said, we have the 3-2-1 battle show here in Seattle tonight at the Battle Palace. Dave Turner trying to get out of defending his 3-2-1 battle championship. But like we were saying last Sunday on the show, 3-2-1 put on a all-women's tournament, which was a first here in the Pacific Northwest. That tournament won, of course, by Cat Power. Outstanding show. Very well done. Every match on the card was hard-hitting, very, very good action. So once again, hats off to the fine people there at 3-2-1 Battle for putting on a very historic and a very well-received first-ever women's tournament.
Who did Cat Power go up against, Sangai?
Well, the finals was Cat Power versus Nicole Matthews.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, how long of a match was that?
It was roughly 20 minutes. It was the first time I'd seen Nicole Matthews in person in many, many years. She used to be a regular for the old Pinnacle Wrestling promotion when she was just starting out in the professional wrestling business. Saw many of her matches there. She's, of course, gone on to a lot of fame, former Shine champion for the Shine promotion. She has done Shimmer, a prominent figure there, ECCW up in Canada, numerous promotions all over Northwest Canada, so I should say Southwest Canada. So you know, Nicole Matthews come a long way. It was a fantastic match. Yeah, the first ever tournament, also a first that I have ever seen, two sisters wrestling against each other when the Hall sisters were pitted against one another in the first round.
Wow, you rarely find sisters wrestling each other.
It was the first time I had seen it, but Wise and Bambi Hall were put against each other in the first round. They came out thinking they had different opponents for the first round, but it turned out they were each other's opponents, and when that was made known, they laid into each other something fierce. They held nothing back in that match, despite being sisters.
Wow. Now, what was the winning move, and by whom?
Bambi Hall won that with a suplex.
Oh, hey, now, okay. Wow. And what was the length of time on that match?
That one went probably a solid 10 minutes.
Wow, all right. Holy smokes, okay. Jeez. Okay.
Now, QT, your top 9 7/8 wrestling rankings came out this week. Once again, controversial in that the number one ranked person winning a fruit pie this week, the late, great Tom Petty.
Yes, I... Now, what is a scuttlebutt among other Northwest wrestlers, maybe like a Ronnie Angel or, I don't know, maybe a Gregor Petrov or a Mac Traeger? What do they say about Tom Petty receiving a fruit pie? Or maybe it's just exciting.
I will have to get specific comments, but I'm guessing they're not too pleased. And how do you propose to pay off the fruit pie that you now owe? Are you going to have to deliver it to the estate?
Yes, I am going to deliver that to the estate. Yeah, the estate, and it won't be in Gainesville, where Tom Petty grew up. It's going to be in Malibu. Did you know that he was living in Malibu?
In California?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Oh, okay.
Now, did he drive a Chevy Malibu?
Whoa! Now, I guess that would be kind of ironic. Driving a Malibu in Malibu, yes.
I could see it.
Well, now, you see, you can't really drive a Honda Civic in Honda. Are there any cities in the United States named Honda?
Not to which I'm aware.
And there are no automobiles named called Forks that you could drive in Forks, Washington. That's what I'm getting at, yes.
I don't believe so, but there is a Tacoma.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right, a Tacoma, yeah. You could drive in Tacoma, yes. All right. Well, Sign, what do you think about, let me see now, what was it, the Flippy Moonshine Edition being ranked number 9 along with Dave Barnett?
That was very surprising indeed. Now, can you explain why that particular episode was not ranked previously and why the most current episode left off the rankings completely?
Boy, I'm not sure. I think it was that the Sign of the Times episode 289 had a bigger impact on it. Yes.
Then why did you not rank it previously?
Well, there's so much competition, Sign Guy, yes. Yes.
Well, that does make sense. There is a lot of competition.
I even have wrestlers calling in or commenting that they're almost heartbroken that they were left out. Yes, like the Phoenix Kid.
He had won a major championship in his final appearance there in Alaska. You pretty much promised he would be ranked, and then you just left him off the rankings. I can see why you'd be upset.
That's true. And do you believe that he is now pleased that in emergency Turnbuckle Turmoil meeting, he was inserted at number 3 3/4?
And 8 a.m. was awfully early for a meeting.
It was, yes. Much coffee flowed, yes.
Thank goodness we have a big supply of paper cups.
I hear that. And you know, Sign, at number 3 2/8, Bad Blood, who beat Lone Star at Blue Collar Wrestling, was ranked there 3 2/8. And at number 3, Brian Armstrong was ranked. So he got ranked between those two. Very interesting.
Brian Armstrong, of course, winning that huge Texas Death Match a couple of shows ago against Jimmy Boy. Jimmy Boy injured very seriously in that match.
Actually, he would be ranked slightly ahead of Bad Blood because Bad Blood was ranked 3 2/8. So 3 3/4 would be ranked above him. Yes.
Now, are you looking at Brian Armstrong as someone that might be in contention for number 1 in the next few weeks?
Yes, I think it's going to The news was pretty much so saturated with him that he might drop, maybe in a tie with Alex McFarland at 9 7/8. Yes.
Alex McFarland, of course, huge fan there at WCWO, attempting to get into the business. I believe he has refereed a couple of times. He may have assisted in ring announcing once or twice. What was it about Alex McFarland that got him this very high ranking?
Well, I have studied his reffing abilities with that of Pops Ballard, and they're pretty similar. Except,
in what
I believe,
way?
Well, I believe that Alex McFarland has an innate ability to count a little bit crisper and not get he has a tendency not to get distracted as much as when he's counting the free falls. Yes. If you put a metronome, one of those things that you put on a piano to keep time, at least Marlon Cobble does, I'd say Alex McFarland most typifies that metronome a little bit better than Pops Ballard in his counting. Yes.
Are you saying there's some sort of symbiotic relationship between Alex McFarland and Martin Cobble, Cobble, Cobble?
Symbiotically, yes.
Are you saying that Martin Cobble, Cobble, Cobble has been training Alex McFarland and might make his own debut at WCWO in the near future? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying if Alex McFarland came to the Martin Cobble Piano Studios, he wouldn't need that metronome when learning chords and scales, chords and scales on the piano. Yes.
So what you're saying is he is attempting to write his own entrance music.
Well, I think so, yes. He would be pretty successful because he does have a pretty good teacher in Martin Cobble, yes. Whereas Pops Ballard would have a slightly more difficult time, yes. In fact, I think I'm going to try to give Alex McFarland a nickname, Alex Metronome McFarland.
All right. Has he been notified of this?
No, he hasn't. I pretty much think of these things on the spur of the moment. Yes.
Now, let's say 10 minutes from now at 3:22, so say at 3:32 p.m. Pacific time, are you going to have any remembrance whatsoever of the nickname that you gave Alex McFarland? Any at all?
Oh, no. No, of course not. I'm writing it down.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, is there any particular reason why at number 6 you had Mac Traeger?
Number 6. Let me see. I'm looking on. Let me see now. Mac Traeger. Boy, I think you're mistaken, number 7. No. Oh, no, you're right. Mac Traeger. Mac Traeger. No, pretty much for his performance at Blue Collar, yes.
Ah, in a 6-person tag match.
There you go, yes.
That does make sense. Now, at number 4, you had Ronnie Nicole, whom, of course, is the Gouge Women's Champion. Did she do anything in particular to get to number 4 in your top 9 7/8 Pacific Northwest wrestler rankings?
Well, now it's Ronnie Flippy Moonshine Nicole. Yes.
And how Flippy did you Moonshine. Come for Flippy Moonshine to be added to her name?
Well, sign my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, and this is huge. This is where you're going to hear this first. I believe due to genetic testing that was recently done, it has been revealed that Ronnie, Flippy Moonshine Nicole, is a distant cousin of Paul Moonshine, yes.
Really? So if I were to ask Paul Moonshine this, he could give me details.
Yes, he can, yes.
All right, I will ask Paul Moonshine this.
And if you think about it, signed by Ronnie, Flippy Moonshine Nicole is from the Kentucky area.
No, I believe she's from... North Carolina, or perhaps even Georgia.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's pretty shocking news to me. Yes.
Despite the fact that she told you this when she was on our show.
Oh, we asked her the tough questions, didn't we? Yes.
You really did.
Yes. Now, Sign, is it true that Kurt Hennig passed away recently? Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Define recent?
I'd say within the week. I could have sworn I saw a headline that Kurt Hennig passed away.
He did,
well,
but it was in 2002.
Oh, okay.
So 15 years ago.
Wow, 15. Well, I guess in the back of my mind I knew that, but due to lack of sleep, I think I misread a headline. Yes. Maybe I'm confusing
apparently
Mr. Purple Kurt Hennig with Tom Petty. Yes.
Now, can you also verify that you did know that this past Thursday, yesterday, was the 20th anniversary of the passing of Brian Pillman?
Oh, wow, 20 years already. Brian Pillman.
Yes, it was
20
years ago yesterday. He was found passed away in a Minneapolis hotel room. So 20 years since Brian Pillman's passed away. The late great, of course, Flying Brian Pillman.
Wow, I didn't know it was that long ago. Boy, holy smokes. Minnesota, huh?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Kurt Hennig, of course, passed away in 2002. I believe it was February 10th. It was the same day that was the anniversary of David Von Erich's passing.
Boy, oh boy, these celebrity wrestlings and celebrity themselves, it seems to be coming in droves. Yes. Clusters.
Well, to be fair, Kurt Hennig has been passed away for 15 years, so it's not really a grove with him.
That's true. But did any other wrestlers pass away around the same time as Kurt Hennig that you remember?
I believe he passed away when there was a lot of unfortunate early demises of wrestlers. And I stand corrected,
okay.
It was actually 2003, QT, so 14 years ago, 2003.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right, okay. Now, Sunday, your contributions from the Seattle Free Public Library, the Seattle and Tacoma Free Public Library, has been
Are you talking about the Little Free Library, which encompasses all of North America?
Yes.
Okay.
Little Free Library. Those contributions, such as Dash and the history of Oregon Timber, have been making it slightly inroads to the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. Have you yourself this week stopped in at the Seattle Little Free Library?
Which one? There's like 30 of them in Seattle.
How about the
probably
one in
more
Edmonds
than that? I've not been to any in Edmonds. I've been to a number of them in Seattle. They're very popular in Seattle. There's a very large amount.
I see. Well, did you go to any on Tuesday? That's what I'm getting at. Any on Tuesday?
I did not on Tuesday. But I can give you the list of people, in short, that also passed away around the same time as Kurt Hennig in 2003. We also lost Crash Holly, the original Sheik, Fred Blassie, Miss Elizabeth, Stu Hart, Road Warrior Hawk, and Tony Altimore.
My gosh. Fred Blassie and Crash Holly, huh?
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. Boy, that is a bad year.
It was not the best year. Of course, Fred Blassie, in his 90s when he passed, he lived a very long life. Some of the other people on there died very prematurely, such as Hawk and Miss Elizabeth. Stu Hart, of course, also lived a very, very long life. But not the best of year for wrestlers' deaths in 2003.
No, now Miss Elizabeth, didn't she? Wasn't she right around 48 when she passed? 48.
I don't think she was quite 48. I think she was a few years younger than that.
Oh, okay. Well, Fred Blassie and Stu Hart in their 90s. That's what Jake LaMotta, who recently passed, reached. I think he was 94. Jake LaMotta, the Raging Bull.
Yes.
Wow. Holy smokes. How old was Crash Holly then?
I believe Crash Holly was in his 30s. I will research that momentarily while you whistle the theme of MASH while I search.
Oh, MASH, okay.
He was aged 32 when he passed away.
Oh, wow, okay. Well, now, Sign, at least that's not like that dreaded age of 27, which a lot of rock and roll people have passed away at. The list for that is staggering.
It really is. I believe Rad Radford, who was, of course, Louis Spicoli in a lot of promotions, was age 27 when he passed away.
Louis Spicoli, okay. That's weird. Okay.
Now, QT, also this past week, another huge notable thing, there is a birthday celebrated on Tuesday as we saw the birthday of Dale Pierce.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Now, can you confirm what you may or may not have given Dale Pierce as a birthday gift, and was it a cup of coffee?
No. Now, recently, Martin Cobble recovered some German beer steins and coffee mugs from his attic, and one of those will be presented to Dale Pierce. Next. A real German beer stein.
By Martin Cobble, Cobble, Cobble?
No, probably by myself, yes. That way I don't have to have the shipping costs. Yes, I can transport in my car.
All right. Now, will you be presenting this to him next Saturday in Bremerton, Washington, at the Elks, as PWF holds its Bling in the Ring number 2 event?
Oh, that's the Bling in the Ring, huh?
Yes.
Oh, now is it? Well, yes, I think that should be presented to Dale Pierce, yes. A copy mug, Wing of the Ring, yes. Now, is this going to be an early Halloween party?
Perhaps, but it will 100% be the rematch between Sunny Days and Casey Carlisle, whom I love.
Wow. Oh, now, that opens up a whole bunch of questions. When is Casey Carlisle flying in?
I think she'll be flying in an airplane.
Oh, I see what you did there. Now, who was the winner of the coffee contest? That's been clouded in my mind. I can't recall the winner. I came very close.
That was Golden Songbird.
Oh, Golden Songbird. Okay. What'd she get for winning that contest?
She was awarded an autographed program from NWA Blue Collar Wrestling at the time, featuring Sunny Days and Casey Carlisle.
Oh, okay. Wow. Boy, I bet you she takes that to, that's one of her most serious possessions.
I believe in the top 13, yes.
Now, where will Casey Carlisle be staying during her sojourn?
You really want me to tell all the stalkers that could be listening where she'll be so they can stalk her? right there in her hotel room.
Yes, that might not be the best. I guess I should have been more discreet there. Yes.
She'd probably appreciate that, and I cannot promise that she won't forearm you right in your nose for having even dared to go that far with it.
Oh, okay. Maybe I had ulterior motives, sign guy. Yes.
Possibly. Were you going to sell the information to Stompin' Steve?
Yes. Stompin' Steve, yes.
Aha. I suspected as much.
Now, sign guy, earlier we touched on the 27 club where rock and rollers pretty much die at 27. Do you remember the death of Amy Winehouse in 2011?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And I think there was Big Ben Hyatt of Canned Heat. He died at the age of 27.
I see. All right.
And Kurt Cobain, of course. Yes.
Yes. As well as Jimi Hendrix.
Yep. And Brian Jones. There was Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and there was Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon.
Shannon Hoon. There was.
Yes. And then there was the all-time great blues musician, Robert Johnson, who had that song, Hellhound on My Trail.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay, let me see now. Other ones, let me see now. Who else? Okay, Alan Wilson of, I guess that was Canned Heat, yes. Canned Heat, Alan Wilson.
Now, are they any relation at all to the tag team Caged Heat from WOW, Women of Wrestling?
Ooh, Caged Heat. I'm not sure about that. Now there was a movie called Caged Heat, and Caged Heat had Wendy O. Williams of the Plasmatics in it. One of my favorite underground films, and I think I sent you a link to that, Caged Heat.
I believe so, but I did not see Delta Lot of Plane nor Loka in it, so I don't know if it was related to the tag team Caged Heat of Women of Wrestling.
Or Harlem Heat, one of my favorites, Harlem Heat.
Yes. Now, was your favorite Harlem Heat match their match against the Steiner Brothers?
Oh, anything involving the Steiner Brothers, the Dogface Gremlin, yes. That would be one of them, yes. Harlem Heat. Yes.
Very interesting. All right.
Now, Sunday, Ron Pigpen McCurran, the keyboardist of the Grateful Dead, died at the age of 27.
I see.
Now, the cause of his death was listed as gastrointestinal hemorrhage, but I think that's a kind of like a fancy name for maybe cirrhosis of the liver. Cirrhosis of the liver.
His liver must have lived a lifetime in a short span.
Yeah, I know. You have to drink a lot. See, well, yeah, you have to drink a lot, you know, to damage your liver in that short of time. However, I think he started drinking right around the age of 14. Yes.
Now, of course, everyone knows you are down to a mere one beer per night. Of course, it's in a gallon bucket.
No, that's Devin Bellinger. Yes.
He's probably up Devin to, like, 30 buckets because he's 30 different people.
He is. That split personality is unbelievable. Yes. I mean, when I look at Devin Bellinger, and if he ever entered the wrestling ring, I'd be looking at Raven.
You think he's also Raven?
Well, yes. Sometimes Raven would crouch in the corner and he would never mount any offense, you know, And sometimes he'd have spurts of offense. Spurts of offense brilliance. Yes. It was like watching Cal in the Pac-12 football. Yes.
And you think South Park would have spurts of brilliance?
Yes, spurts of offense. Yes.
I don't see that so much. Granted, he is a former HPW champion under the name Stompin' Steve, but I don't see so much spurts of brilliant offense.
Now, what's Stompin' Steve been up to these days?
I think part-time he runs his card shop called Who's on First, which isn't really a card shop because there's no cards in it. And then part of the time, he's, you know, a mild-mannered teacher named Rex Razor Sharp that runs a side band called the Razor Ramones. And then sometimes he's a guy named Andrew Mitchell that collects autographs from all the sports entertainers in all of the world. And sometimes he's someone named Andrea Harris.
Wow. Wow. That reminds me, will the Razor Ramones have any Halloween gigs coming up? Razor Ramones.
That I'm not sure of either. I will have to research that while you hum the theme to the TV show Cheers.
Cheers? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see now. How's that?
I'm not sure. I'm not
oh.
sure. But I can't find any news on appearances, but apparently they have a new song.
Whoa, what's the song called?
Let's see if I can find a name. I don't know if they've even released the name of the song. I don't believe they have. They've just written it.
Oh, okay.
Now, QT, is there any truth to the rumor that you will be going to see the Razor Ramones at some point in 2018 live in person, and your goal in life is to start up a mosh pit where you will dive into said mosh pit while wearing a T-shirt that reads Shelbyville?
Wow. Now, that is, a lot of people would pay big money to see that. Yes, including Troy Miller.
Probably would.
Boy, that would be good, diving into a mosh pit at a Razor Ramon concert. Yes.
So we have a verbal commitment. That's what you're going to do for 2018.
Oh, okay, 2018, yes.
Aha, there we go, verbal commitment. I'm sure they'll look forward to this.
Can you relay that? Can you relay that information to Rex Sharp?
I will see if I can't get the Razor Ramones to be aware of such.
Now, Sinai, to the best of your knowledge, have the Razor Ramones ever released a single that has an A and B side?
I believe that they have.
Because a lot of times, now let me say, let me see now, what is it? Okay. Bands will release a single, and they think that they put, their best song on the single on the A side, and curiously, it's the B side, which they don't think will do as well, that ends up doing very good. An example of this is when Kiss released their single, Detroit Rock City. On the undercard of that was a song called Beth, and Beth continued, and to this day has outsold Detroit Rock City. Beth, yes.
Although both huge hits for Kiss, yes.
That's true. Detroit Rock City did rank up there, but not their best. Yes, I think it's in their top six, right around number six. Yes. And the Beach Boys, on their, I think they released a single. I'm not sure what was on the A side, but the B was Sloop John B.
Very interesting.
I'm just saying that this music and all this talk of these singles and Razor Ramon concerts dovetail nicely in my quest to get referees' entrance music.
Now, what entrance music would you give to Pop's Ballad?
I think last week I suggested several for Pop's Ballad, didn't I?
Possibly. Now, what would be your number one Pops to have?
Well, I think that's when your eyes glazed over, sign guy.
Possibly.
No, all right. Well, Pops Ballard, I would think a Swoop John B would be a kind of like a seafaring chant for Pops Ballard. Very, very nice. Okay. Maybe Holidays in Cambodia. That would be good. Holidays in Cambodia.
I could see that. Now, what would your theme song be for, let's say, I don't know, maybe a NWWA referee junior?
I'm probably going to say Waiting for the Hammer to Fall by Queen.
Any particular reason as to why?
Not really.
Okay. Now, QT, yeah. What would be the theme song for NWA senior referee James Beard?
Probably Seek and Destroy by Iggy and the Stooges. And I say that without the slightest hesitation.
Any particular reason as to why?
Seek and Destroy. Well, isn't he kind of like a Seek and Destroy person himself? Especially when it comes to establishing goals. He'll seek and destroy anything in his path.
I don't know if that would be really accurate to describe James Beard.
Oh, okay. How about I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts by Tito Fuentes?
Still not sure that'd be totally appropriate for James Beard.
Oh, okay. Well, who in blue collar wrestling would I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts be a very good and appropriate entrance music? I mean, I can't really see T-Rex having that. You know, T-Rex.
I'd say Petrov if he wears the right singlet.
Oh, okay. I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts. Okay. All right. Very good. I think Laren Golden Songbird Amos may or may not agree with that assessment. Yes. Okay.
All right.
Now, sign down.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, now the bassist for Iggy and the Stooges, Dave Alexander, also died at the age of 27 on February 10th, 1975. Dave Alexander.
Ah, so also not this.
What's that?
Also not this week.
Not this week, no.
Yes. Much like Kurt Hennig.
Yes. No sign. A lot of these deaths at 27 is not exactly like drug overdose. There was an electrocution on stage. Leslie Harvey of Stone and the Crows died of electrocution. One person died of diabetes, and that was Linda Jones, who was a soul singer. So there was health problems, electrocution. One person, I guess he was a drummer for a band called Bloodstone. He fell off a horse and died from injuries from falling off a horse.
That poor horse.
Oh, yes. Now, one person died in a plane crash. He was an organ player of the group Chase, okay, 27, okay. But, and there's some, there's some that have died in traffic accidents. Jesse Belden, 1960. 1969, there was a person called Alexandra that died in a road accident. Okay. Boy, let's see now. Road accident. Let me see. Plane crash. Here's suicide by hanging. Ooh. Pete Ham, a bad finger. Okay. Gee, I guess none of these people will ever contribute to the music of entrance music of a referee or timekeeper, which is pretty sad. Yes.
Now, QT, I have gotten word.
Yes.
The Razor Ramones have no list of upcoming shows, but they have guaranteed they will make something happen for 2018. So you can dive into this mosh pit while wearing a Shelbyville T-shirt.
Now,
they have declared it will happen.
Oh, now which of the band members responded to this question or request?
The one that is officially in charge of making official proclamations, Beast Barnett.
Oh, hey, Beast Barnett. Okay, tell him I look forward to. Not staying in a hotel, but his basement during this time.
All right. Now, will you also be drinking his coffee?
I would hope so, yes.
All right. Now, why are you choosing to stay in Beast Barnett's basement rather than in Sean Crittenden's closet? I bet he can fit a cot in there.
Really? You can fit a cot in Sean Crittenden's closet?
Possibly. I don't know. I've never gone to his closet.
He must have a pretty big wardrobe. Yes. Oh, okay. Boy. We'll have to keep in touch with Sean Crittenden. Yes. And his bass playing. Yes.
Now will you be having breakfast at any point in time with Alomar?
Alomar, if he promises to serve me waffles with bacon, with real shredded bacon in the waffles, yes, that would be great. I'd love to have waffles and bacon with Alomar. Yes. When was the last time you had waffles with torn up bacon in them?
I recently had a bacon and peanut butter waffle at the Diamond Knot Brewery. It was divine.
Wow, was that last Friday night, maybe?
It was last Saturday.
Oh, wow. And what brewery was this?
The Diamond Knot.
Diamond Knot, okay. Is that like in downtown Seattle?
It is not. It is in scenic Mount Lake Terrace.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, the traffic would have been much better than, yes, there in Seattle, especially on a Saturday. Oh, okay.
Now, QT, will you be making your way to Mount Lake Terrace to sample this peanut butter bacon waffle magic?
I think I am pretty much due for a trip to the Grateful Bagel.
Aha!
Or the Grateful Bread. Grateful Bread.
Now, will you be traveling to the Grateful Bread, say, Sunday afternoon?
Let me see now. Boy, you're not going to be refereeing at Blue Collar. Let me see. Saturday, I am booked to make an appearance at Martin Cobble's house. Yes.
Will you be playing the heavy metal tuba?
No heavy metal tuba, no. Not like Opus on Berkeley Breathe. Berkeley Breathe was the inventor of the Opus comic strip. Yes.
Now, will you be co-writing a song for Alex McFarlane with Martin Cobble, Cobble, Cobble?
In my quest to get Pops Ballard that nickname, a metronome, that could very well be Pops Metronome Ballard. Yes, I'll talk to Martin Cobble about that tomorrow. Would you like me to send a picture on Facebook of his metronome?
I would, and I would also like for a sneak preview of the song Four Pops Ballard.
Wow, all right. Okay, I think I could do that. Okay. Now, Sandra,
after all that, will you be able to get to the Grateful Bread, say, 3:30 on Sunday afternoon? That's what all the listeners are wanting to know.
Boy, Sunday. Well, you know, let me see now. Maybe Tuesday would be a better day. Tuesday. Are you busy Tuesday?
Not so much. Shall we say like 9 a.m.?
How's traffic going into Seattle at that time?
Shouldn't be too bad.
Oh, okay. I guess Tuesday could work out. Yes.
There we go. Listeners, you heard it here. 9 a.m. on Tuesday, you can find QT Vokes and myself, apparently, at the Grateful Bread. Hopefully there won't be a whole lot of creep stalkers.
I hear that. I can only hope that they have that goth painting on the wall with the black-haired beauty and the crow.
We will find out.
Yes. Boy, now, son. Oh, yes. Here's a quiz for you. When Opus and Steve Dallas, the lawyer in Bloom County, formed their rock and roll band, what was the name of that band?
I'm going to say the Rockfield 2.
No, Billy and the Boingers. Billy and the Boingers. Yes.
Here's a question from Beast Barnett. He is wondering, since he is in an apartment, since you have openly stated you were going to stay in his basement, are you actually meaning you're going to stay in the apartment of his downstairs neighbor?
Oh. Well, is the downstairs neighbor like someone in the, like looking as like a young Raquel Welch? Ask him that.
I will ask him that. I can't guarantee it. But if you could whistle the theme from Taxi while I do so.
Oh, I'm not familiar with Taxi's theme.
Oh, that's too bad. How about the theme from the Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes of Hazzard? Politically, I can't whistle that song, guy, because they fly the Confederate flag. Yes.
How about the theme from Quincy?
I never saw Quincy. Never.
Never one?
Never.
Now, how about the theme from Hee Haw?
Let's see. Hee Haw. No, I can't really deliver on that either. I didn't think they had a theme song.
Well, this is hugely disappointing. Could you do the theme from Dallas?
Oh, Dallas, I was over in Ellensburg. Yes. In fact, that's a TV series I never saw. Although, aren't they doing like a rerun or something like that? Not a rerun, but a revised edition.
They did for a while. I believe it is now defunct as well.
Did they have the same theme song the second time around? Same theme song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, could you possibly whistle the theme song from the TV show Friends?
Oh, Friends. Let me see now. Can you start off a bar for me? Oh, no, I got it. Okay, yes, the Rembrandts played that song. There you go.
All right. No word yet from Beast Barnett on this whole neighbor looking like Raquel Welch thing.
Damn. Oh, okay.
If I do hear from Beast, I will immediately update the listeners. I think that's about all the time we have for today. Sunday, We're going to be doing our tribute to Don Owens era Portland wrestling. Our second time doing this for Portland wrestling. The first time was a huge success. So we're going to try it one more time. Doug Masters will be with us. Princess Victoria and possibly a few more surprise guests. Tune in Sunday to find out the information there. We'll be back with you then. Get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Never heard like this before.